two-time All-American. He's from that state. I'm sure this one means a lot to him as well. Right now, I welcome in Barrett Jones. It's presented by Med Center Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, also the Hoover location, Urgent Care, Family Medicine, the great doctors of Med Center. Barrett Jones, welcome into the game in T-Town. I hope you're well.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. I don't know if we set the stage last week, but what a performance by Alabama this past Saturday.
It sure was, Ryan. That was it was very impressive. Obviously, a great win. The offense seemed to be clicking on all cylinders, but you're also really, really impressed with the defense and the way they handled that hurry-up, no-huddle offense. And it was just an all-around impressive win. I think A&M, obviously, really, Ryan, it's hard to believe, thinking back to the first week of the season after we watched A&M beat South Carolina, and to watch that team out there, just to think it's the same team. You know, it really was confusing to me, not to take any away from Alabama, because I think they played fantastic. But, that was an interesting turn of events to see the way A&M came out and played, obviously, not anywhere close to probably their best game. And But can't take a lot away from Alabama, because, man, they really, really came out and were ready and focused. And I was just so impressed with the way they responded to the challenges that, obviously Coach Saban put towards them for the week, but also the support, that kind of he came out with in his press conference, where he sort of supported them and said that he believed in them. And you could really see the way they responded. There was just a lot of passion out there on the field, and that's a really encouraging sign to see the kind of emotion and things like that that they were bringing on the sideline.
Nick Saban also released after the game, and I don't have the audio clip ready. I'd play it, because he talked about the offensive line performing as a group. He had a meeting with him last week, and he challenged those guys. He said, you're taking a lot of criticism right now. And, he challenged them and said, hey, you can play better. You're the guys that gets everything started. But that offensive line really goes back, and they opposed their will on that defensive line. They were getting a great push.
They did, and I think that was certainly a big part in the game, and especially offensively, obviously, that was probably the key to our success, was the fact that Blake had a lot of time to throw, and when you run the ball, it really just helps open up the rest of the offense. And so I was really impressed with Bradley Bozeman, the way he came in and played, and he's clearly gotten a lot better in these past few weeks and earned some really valuable experience that will probably come in handy down the road. So that was a big deal, I think, having him in the lineup and, kind of needing a few weeks to kind of get adjusted and get a few weeks to kind of get the cohesiveness of the unit back. So it'll obviously help get Ryan Kelly back, but Bradley Bozeman really did a good job last week and played very well.
Barrett, has Nick Saban ever challenged Barrett Jones?
Well, I don't know if he's came and challenged me personally that way, but, I mean, he certainly challenged me, every day, and just kind of the way when he challenged the team. But he certainly yelled at me a few times, but I don't know if he's ever given me a direct one-on-one challenge.
All right, so you're letting the cat out of the bag, because I thought Barrett Jones was one of those guys that just, did everything as well as far as a role model player. What did Nick Saban yell at Barrett Jones about?
He yelled at me for me. I mean, times where I'd make mistakes or do things, especially when I was younger, I mean, he would give it to me. That's the thing about Coach Saban, is he does not discriminate who he yells at. He'll yell at the lowest player, freshman, or he'll yell at a senior, depending on if they don't do things right. So he yelled at me plenty of times, but, I would never take it personally or anything like that. I enjoyed being coached like that, just because he's a guy who's very passionate. And, I need a lot of coaching, because I made a lot of mistakes.
Right now, Barrett Jones, Inside the Game, presented by Tuscaloosa Med Center, talking to Barrett Jones about the game against Texas A&M. 35 points in the second quarter. It broke a record here at Alabama. It was the most points scored, not just in the second quarter, but 59-0 was the largest margin of victory over a ranked opponent in program history. But 35 points in the second quarter was an amazing quarter.
Yeah, it was a great quarter, and I would love to have many more just like it. I don't know about you, but that was it was something to see, and I was just I can't tell you how impressed I was with just kind of the way we came out and played hard, and I think the execution level was so much higher in this game than the other game I had seen this year so far. I think we had zero penalties and zero turnovers. I mean, just you could tell that those things had really, really been worked on throughout the week and emphasized, and I think that what to take away is when this Alabama team executes and plays up to its full potential, they're hard to beat. You know, they're really, really hard to beat, and they can really, really embarrass teams like they did against Texas A&M. Excuse me. And then also, for whatever reason, we play a lot better at home. So I'm glad that we get Mississippi State at home, and that'll be a big advantage down the stretch here.
Do you think it was a problem when you come off of an impressive victory like Alabama did to get that focus back on Monday or even Sunday in film time?
I'm sorry, Ron. Can you repeat that again?
No, I'm just saying when you come up to a victory of 59-0, it was such an impressive performance. How hard do you think it was for Nick Saban and the coaches to get the players' attention back to get ready to go back out and challenge Tennessee on the road?
Well, I think the players are pretty excited. I think if I had to imagine, I would say not that hard. I think they're not going to forget the criticism they kind of got in those 2 weeks with Ole Miss and Arkansas, and I think they really kind of felt challenged, and so hopefully they can use this to sort of springboard themselves into a different kind of season, the second half of the season. I think this is a great start to it, and I expect them to come out really, really focused. I think, you know, it's just a confidence thing. It seemed like they really gained a lot of confidence, and that's something that at times it seemed like this team maybe didn't have a full 100% play to confidence, but I think that's going to really help their confidence and help them to understand and see when they do it right what they're capable of.
Barrett Jones right now inside the game. He's got a lot of accomplishments here in Tuscaloosa, two-time All-American. But being from the state of Tennessee and never losing to the Volunteers of Knoxville, that has to be one of those that you sort of wear on your collar a little bit.
It was. You know, being 5-0 against Tennessee is a big deal, especially being from Tennessee and having a lot of friends that went there. It definitely, I always tell people jokingly, my Tennessee friends, that really I had no, my favorite end zone to score in would be the checkerboard end zones. It was always a lot of fun scoring those end zones. So I really, really like playing there, and playing at Neyland Stadium is a great venue. And, you know, smoking those victory cigars after the game is just a really, really fun tradition for the fans and the players. And it's something that I think I'll remember for a long, long time.
Did you ever consider going to Tennessee? Because if I remember correct, you were the number one or number two player in that state. I think you were you Mr. Football in the state of Tennessee?
I was not.
Okay,
my bad.
I missed that.
Well, I don't want to sound like I am crying over spilled milk, but the way it worked in Tennessee, you know, we were already all committed at the time, and all the guys who were committed to Tennessee won Mr. Football. So I was already committed to Alabama, so I was kind of the black sheep of the state.
Did you ever consider even going to Knoxville?
I did. I considered it for a little bit at the very beginning, but quickly found that, you know, Alabama was going to be the place. You know, I grew up a little bit of an Alabama fan, obviously, because my dad played basketball there. But, you know, I just kind of decided I wasn't going to let that fact determine where, you know, I went to college and played football. Just because, you know, being a fan is great, but I wanted to kind of look around and make sure that was the best place for me. And so that's kind of why I chose Alabama. It's not really because I was a fan, but because I really felt like, honestly, that's where I wanted to go to school and play football, and that it would give me a chance to have a great education and also win a lot of football games.
Going back, help us understand, because Tennessee is, and I'm doing the math, 2,922 days since Tennessee last beat the Crimson Tides, October 21st, 2006. Tennessee has not had a long time.
I was actually there too.
Were you really?
I went to every single Alabama Tennessee game growing up for a long time, just because, you know, I don't know, that's just kind of the one I always went to with some of my buddies.
2006, October 21st, 2006. Let me go back to the Rocky Top week, because this rivalry, as we were talking about with Coach Stallings, he said, you know, at times it was bigger than Auburn. It was it means a lot to this tradition of Alabama football. Do you need an extra focus? Do you think the players get that it is very important to Alabama fans, the Bama Nation, even to the other side, Tennessee fans the same way, that this game really means something to both fan bases?
I definitely do, and I think the players certainly get it. I know some of the younger fans maybe don't quite get it. I think part of that might have to do with the fact that, you know, there's, I guess, 8-year-olds that are alive today that have never lost Tennessee, so I just had to remind the Tennessee fans of that.
Wow, that's cool.
But I think that, you know, it's I certainly never forgot it, and I think most of the players when I was there Always were reminded that Tennessee was a big game for us, and we definitely had a little extra giddy up that week.
And no doubt it's been that way at practice this week. Hopefully that continues. Barrett Jones right now inside the game. All right, Barrett, look around the SEC for a couple of minutes. Do you see chaos forming in the SEC with these possible one-loss teams? Mississippi State, Ole Miss, obviously at some point they've got to lose one game because they're going to play one another. Now you got Ole Miss going to LSU. Looking in the foresight 3 or 4 weeks down the road, do you see chaos developing in the Southeastern Conference with these one-loss teams?
There is definitely chaos brewing. There's without a doubt. And right now, really, there's five teams that could easily be in the playoff. And so I think there's all kind of chaos brewing because if two SEC teams don't get in the playoff with the strength of the SEC this year, I think it'll be an absolute shame. And I think I honestly think there's a very real possibility of that wouldn't happen just because I'm a little wary of the SEC playoff. And I mean, that should be the name of it, but the college football playoff and just the way it's going to operate. So I think definitely some chaos could ensue. It's going to be exciting to watch it unfold, but I'm going to be very disappointed if it turns out like I think it might.
I can go back that Sunday afternoon. As Alabama was watching the BCS rankings to see if they were going to take on LSU. And I think that's what it's probably going to come down to. If Alabama, they lost to Ole Miss, now if they run the table or if Auburn runs the table, everybody's going to be glued into those predictions, just like we were on that Sunday afternoon as Alabama was announced that they would play LSU for that championship. I remember that day. I can almost walk you through the entire day. Is you're just nervous on the fence.
There's no doubt. And thankfully, it turned out pretty well for us, but I can remember that day as well, having the day after the SEC championship being at the banquet, and it was very nerve-wracking, and I think there'll be a lot of that this year for a lot of schools. So it's going to be interesting. You know, it really is going to be really, really interesting to see how it pans out, and you know, I think there's going to be somebody's going to be unhappy. That much is clear, and I have a feeling that there will be one or maybe two SEC fan bases that are very disappointed because, I look back, I saw the other day they did a mock playoff for 2008 and didn't have Alabama in the mock playoff in 2008. And if you remember, that's the year that we lost to Florida in the SEC championship. It was a great game. And in my opinion, us and Florida were the two best teams in the country. And they did not have us in the mock playoff. So I'm very worried that they're going to put a lot of emphasis on conference champions and not enough emphasis on who really are the best four teams in the country.
Barrett Jones right now inside the game. As we wrap up this segment, we always take just a couple of minutes to promote our faith in Christ. You've certainly been an ambassador for our faith, and you continue to stand for those principles and values that many of us hold dear. Give us an encouragement word, encouraging word, as we travel forward here on a Tuesday.
Absolutely, Ryan. Tonight I'm going to read out of Psalm 5:3. It says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." What I love about this verse, Ryan, is it's a verse that is talking about your quiet time, and talking about what you do first thing in the morning. I think the daily quiet time is really just the lifeblood of the Christian's walk, because it's really the purpose of the quiet time is kind of to grow in our faith and to continue our relationship, building a relationship with Jesus Christ. And without that, it's really, really hard to operate and it's hard to grow as a Christian. So it's just something that's very, very important. It's time where you spend time with God, you get in the Word, you get in prayer and really kind of seek out what God's plan is for you in life. And it's kind of where He reveals a lot of things about your life and His will for your life to you. And so I think it's just a very, very important time. And it's also important, like it says in the verse, to kind of put it first thing in the morning, I think, just because when you get caught up with the busyness of the day, I know so many times for me, I say I'm going to do it later, but I get caught up in the busyness of the day and I end up going to bed without having that quiet time. So I just think it's important to, get it down the first part of your day and really kind of give God your first fruits and get started off on the right foot.
Barrett Jones helping us out right now. It's presented by Med Center Tuscaloosa, Med Center Northport, Demopolis, and Hoover, the Urgent Care Family Medicine Clinic. No appointment necessary. Open until 10 o'clock here in Tuscaloosa on 69 South. Barrett, I appreciate you being part of my show, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, man. Have a great week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ryan.